Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We've been examining as a topic the dynamic of change. 3 years the Lord dealt with me. I did some investigation, some sitting with other pastors, and talking with spiritual leaders, and we reached the conclusion the Bible is the Word of God, but it is a cultural book. There are components of the Word of God that don't apply in this culture. Deuteronomy 22:5 doesn't apply for this culture. There are concepts in the Word of God that stress masculine involvement that don't necessarily apply to this culture because of the rise of single-parent families. The concept of the man being the head of the home is a biblical reality, but when there is no man in the home, the woman is the head of the home. And while she lacks the emotional and physical strength to assume that responsibility, she gets the grace she needs to carry those responsibilities out as best she can. When your son, if you're a mama and you're the head of your home, and your son begins to move into manhood, unfortunately, you're finished. When that boy begins to move into manhood, when the alpha male becomes dominant, you're done. There isn't much you can do. And that's why so many females, mamas, if you will, begin to resort to physical chastisement. Because they don't have any other way to deal with the evolution of that boy. That boy grows and he doesn't want to eat the green peas. So mama gets frustrated. She'll either punish him, make him stand in a corner, and she'll harass him by taking away privileges. These are normally the responses of the woman. My godson began to grow and he no longer wanted peas. He refused to eat his green peas. Sister Lambert was becoming exasperated because our daughter would eat whatever she was given. Girls tend to, they used to just go along with instruction until they got around boys. And so Darius had begun to refuse to eat his green peas. And Sister Lambert was getting exasperated, and she just basically used to say, "You got him." And so I sat with him, and I didn't employ mama's methods. I employed daddy's methods. And daddy said, "I know why you don't eat those peas. You don't eat them because you're not man enough to eat them." I challenged his manhood. He looked at me and ate those peas. Because there is a correlation between like reproducing after its kind. As we move forward in the things of God, and you find that the Bible is cultural, the challenge that we have is how do we live a godly life in this culture? And so after 3 years of research and writing, we finally have the book, The Christian and the Culture. I don't like to write long books. I don't like to write theological treatises. I don't like to do that. I like to keep it small, like the Gospel of Mark. And as I was sitting in my office today, I don't do this normally. Staff is trying to get me to do it more when I go out. But as I sat in there, the Lord said, encourage people to get this book. I said, why? They can just pick it up. He said, no, encourage them to get it because of the cultural strains that we will find ourselves engaging. How do we apply principles of holiness in an unholy world? How do we avoid being assimilated into the culture and maintaining scriptural distinctiveness? How do we keep our light from being hidden by our goals and desires and dreams? How do we learn to distinguish between the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and our own growth desires? Everything is not pride. Some things are natural growth desires. And in this book, we seek to help the Christian engage the culture and come out victorious. As we explore the dynamic of change, our principal passage, Isaiah 43, God says in verse 18, remember ye not the former thing. Don't get bogged down in previous issues. If you don't expect your life to be better, it will not be better. If you continue to make excuses for your behavior by connecting them with events of your past, your life will not be any better. What happened, happened. Get over it and move on. Don't hold on to it. At some point in our growth process, all of us have been hurt by someone. But don't give them victory over you by staying bitter towards them. That's the secret of Joseph, which you're learning as we continue to read through the Bible. Joseph gets to this place where he looks at his brothers and says, you guys sought to do me evil, but I've learned that God meant it for good. So Joseph wasn't asking why. Joseph was saying, Lord, what do you want out of this? And that's what we should master. We still have an interrogative. We still have a question. But it goes from why to what. Stop asking why in the sense of pity. Why is this happening to me? Turn it into a, Lord, what do you want me to do? And joy will come. Amen. He said, don't consider the things of old. Stop thinking about your past. Tell somebody, stop thinking about your past. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. That's the blessing. The challenge is, when it comes up, will you recognize it? There is a term that we are familiar with, particularly in Pentecostal from the African-American slant. We've married this term. The term is generational curses. Bible doesn't use that term. It alludes to the fact that there are some judgments that are passed on from generation to generation. But it doesn't have anything to do with the DNA or the gene pool. It's not a passage that deals with genetics, although there is a genetic part there. But that's not what God is saying. God isn't saying, I'm going to curse your kids primarily because of your actions. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that your children can walk in a curse because your behavior continues the curse. Doesn't mean that God is arbitrarily sitting in heaven dropping the sins of my daddy on me, but he says I'm going to visit them upon the children. Why? Because the behavioral pattern that the child sat under has been reproduced to the point where the result is the same. So at some point, as you become an adult, you may even have to divorce yourself from your parents' behavior. You may have to say, I'm not going to do what my grandmother and my grandfather and my mother and father did. I'm not going to allow myself to walk in the level of disobedience that they walked simply because it's the natural default for my life. There are some of our young people who grow up expecting to fail in school and have babies out of wedlock because their parents, unfortunately, did that, so it becomes their norm. So they just expect it. So much so that people will even say, when little Susie has a baby, oh, well, she had one because her mother had one and her grandmother had one, and so it just keeps on going. Why? Because the behavioral patterns become clearly identified and connected with that child. And so that's why it's important to expose your children to people who you want them to emulate. Listen to me very carefully. Character is genetic. Behavior is learned. behavior is societal. Did you hear the language of the young man who talked about the mature, wise people on his street? Did you hear his language, how he talked about the disconnect from what he called the old people and how he migrates towards those with whom he shares a commonality? What do? Encourage each other through the medium of texting. They reach out and even discuss confrontation when someone tries to get in their face. You see how his cultural response is directly related to his generational assessment. The generational assessment is, I'm not going to let nobody punk me. Amen. But when you cross the river 50, you realize you just don't have the strength for it, so you call the cops. 30 years ago, you'd be outside, whoa, what you got to say? Now you close the window and dial 911. Why? Because your generation forces response. So God is aware of that. So the brother says that we must get wisdom. Wisdom is the fruit of knowledge. It is what's left after you apply knowledge to your situation that you are confronting. You apply knowledge, you succeed by living, you now have wisdom. So the scripture never tells you to get knowledge. It tells you to get wisdom, which is the appropriation, the utilization of knowledge. That's why we have some people that are smart but dumb. That means they're intelligent, but they have no wisdom. Now, those of you that were raised in the inner city, you have knowledge and wisdom. Amen. You might not have gone to Harvard, but you can survive in New York City because you had knowledge that came from your neighborhood and wisdom when you saw what happened to somebody who didn't apply. Amen. We're not dumb. And that's how we ought to be with God. We ought to have knowledge of his word and wisdom from being able to stand when the devil challenges what we believe. God said, I'm doing something new. Can't you see it? We are prone to embrace agony and lament our deliverance. We're sad when God delivers us. And so God tries to reach us through an abundant ways, through different venues of the media. God tries to reach us first through the word of God, to teach us how to prepare for the newness. You can't prepare for newness with the same people. Amen. As the young people said, get those people out your life. I like his phrase, that don't mean you any good. They'll either roll with you or get rolled on. You've got to determine who goes to the next level with you. God's not forcing anybody on you. God will separate you as we prepare for change.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1316P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It's Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to evaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.